The following podcast contains dramatizations of actual events. Certain situations, dialogue, names, and locations may have been changed. Some scenes are graphic in nature. Listener discretion is advised.
Up next, these robbery teams appear to be skilled professionals.
They got more bold and brazen with how they were committing the acts.
So bold and brazen that a young store clerk is shot to death.
The robber fires one round from a semi-automatic 9mm pistol.
The killers apparently don't care that security video will catch them in the act, and they make a crucial mistake that's caught on camera.
There's no perfect crime.
And sure enough, that's when we got the lead that would end up solving the case.
Shortly before midnight on May 20th, 2015, 20-year-old Sean Smith arrived at a smoke shop called Smoke 911 in Woodstock, Georgia, an Atlanta suburb. He was there to see his friend Enrique De Los Reyes, whose shift at the store was just about to end. 21-year-old Enrique was known to everyone as EJ.
Being an only child, his parents doted on him. EJ had taken a job at the Smoke 911 in Woodstock, pretty much his first adult job.
Sean often helped EJ close up the store, but this time something seemed different.
They were going to hang out after work. When his friend Sean Smith came to the store, he saw a silver BMW, and in the driver's seat of the BMW was a black male wearing a red beanie and had a gray sweatshirt on.
Sean made eye contact with the driver and was a little unnerved just about the eye contact.
Sean mentioned the car to EJ, who had also seen it.
Sean asked him, you know, why haven't you called the police? And EJ's response was, they haven't done anything wrong. Why am I going to call the police?
EJ and Sean proceeded to close up the store. Within a few minutes, two men burst inside.
They entered into the front door of the business, both brandishing firearms, placed both EJ and Mr. Smith on the ground. Mr. Smith was searched and subsequently moved to the bathroom area, while the other suspect went to the cash register, started taking money and merchandise.
While Sean was in the bathroom, he heard a single gunshot. After hearing a car drive away, he rushed out to find EJ covered in blood.
Cherokee County, no one can hear emergency.
This is a Smoke 911 on Woodstock.
Okay.
My friend has just been shot. He's bleeding. It's in his right upper chest.
First responders arrived minutes later to find EJ fighting for his life.
He suffered a single gunshot wound to the chest. As he arrived at the hospital, he became unresponsive and they were unable to revive him.
Law enforcement got on the phone with EJ's mom, broke the news to her, and she was completely devastated, fell to the ground, and sobbed along with EJ's dad.
A single 9mm shell casing was on a store counter. The silver BMW that had been in the parking lot was gone. A visibly shaken Sean Smith was exonerated by the surveillance video and was now turned to as an eyewitness to the crime. He described the attackers as black males in their early 20s.
Both of the suspects had their faces covered. One had a skull cap pulled over his face, had slits in where his eyes would be so he could see. The other individual had his shirt kind of pulled up and his hand covering his face to disguise it. There's a struggle between EJ and the suspect. And you see the suspect pull the gun out and shoot EJ one time in the chest.
The smoke shop had no cameras outside the store, so there were no usable images of the BMW Sean saw earlier that night. Investigators were in a tough spot. Their evidence was thin, and their suspects gave every indication of being seasoned professionals.
It was very apparent that these guys had committed robberies before. This wasn't an amateur job at all.
E-cigarettes and, in some states, legalized marijuana have made smoke shops into lucrative business opportunities. They are largely cash businesses, and that makes them an inviting target for criminals, a fact known to E.J. Reyes.
There had been some other robberies in the area that his family knew about and were concerned enough to talk to him about how to handle any robbery or anything that might happen there at the smoke shop.
The problem for investigators is that these crimes are mostly random. They have nothing to do with the people inside the store and everything to do with what's in the store.
Random crimes will always be the most difficult to investigate because there's no personal relationship between your victim and your suspect.
When it's random in nature, it is oftentimes hard because you're trying to get suspects in millions of people. Even with a surveillance camera, which we had here that captured the entire crime, it's difficult. It's often like, you know, trying to catch that one fish in a giant ocean.
Investigators pored over every second of surveillance video from the Reyes murder and noticed a mistake made by one of the suspects.
As suspect number two was moving merchandise around, he picked up a tote that he was sticking merchandise in. But before doing that, he had to remove the top, and the top was left behind on scene.
What made this important was that suspect number two, unlike suspect number one, was not wearing gloves. Analysts seized the lid of this plastic container and made an unusual decision on how to treat it as evidence. They opted for a possible fingerprint instead of the touch DNA.
DNA takes time to process. It has to go to the crime lab.
The surveillance video allowed analysts to target the exact spot where suspect number two touched this item. If a print could be lifted, it would almost certainly be his.
So fingerprints, if you could get that immediately and get that information now, you'd rather have that than wait on DNA results.
Especially with a killer on the loose. But in a setback, the prints were only partial and not good enough to get a hit in AFIS, the National Fingerprint Database.
Which was kind of a downer. We were hoping that those prints off, the late impressions off that lid would provide identity of a suspect, but they did not.
Despite both suspects having taken considerable efforts to hide their identities, Sean Smith got a good look at one of them as he walked into the store. With the help of a forensic artist, a composite sketch was created. This and still frames from the surveillance video were released to the public. Tips poured in, and one looked promising.
We got an anonymous tip from a young lady who stated that she believed the person responsible for the robbery homicide in Woodstock was a Mr. Varner. She stated that he had had a history of drug use and violent crime, and that the day after our homicide occurred, she knew that Mr. Varner was in Canton, Georgia, attempting to sell a .40 caliber handgun and seemed to be very nervous.
And Varner, who had two outstanding arrest warrants, had access to the same type of vehicle used in the Reyes murder.
She claimed that prior to the robbery homicide, she had seen Mr. Varner in his girlfriend's vehicle, which she described to be a four-door BMW that was silver or gray in color.
On Varner's Facebook page, detectives found photos of several people with known gang ties. One was wearing clothing similar to clothes worn by one of the murder suspects.
Some of the people that he was standing with were wearing a multicolored ball cap that was very similar to what the second suspect in our robbery homicide was wearing.
Varner, when brought in for questioning, claimed he had nothing to do with the murder and had an alibi to prove it.
Also, Mr. Varner was actually older than the two that were inside the store. So we were able to discount Mr. Varner as a suspect.
The investigation was back to square one. But then another robbery at another smoke shop provided a possible avenue to solve the Reyes murder.
We firmly believe that the smoke shop robberies in Cobb and Cherokee County were related.
Four days before the smoke shop murder of E.J. Reyes, two smoke shops were also robbed in Kennesaw, a town just 10 miles away.
The surveillance video from the Kennesaw smoke shop robberies showed similar suspects acting in similar ways, forcibly taking over the store, coming in fast, taking items, and leaving fairly quickly.
There was another similarity. The vehicle used in the robberies was a silver BMW. A surveillance camera outside one of the stores captured high-quality images of the vehicle.
It was much more clear of an image of that BMW, but still did not read a license plate or be able to identify the occupants.
You could see the car really good. In fact, what you could see about it were the star-shaped wheels that did not appear to be factory wheels to the car.
This BMW with custom wheels quickly became the focus of the investigation. Detectives surmised the vehicle was likely stolen.
Often in commercial robberies and other robberies, a lot of people use stolen cars to commit those crimes. They can destroy those cars, they can burn them, they can abandon them. I requested a list of stolen silver BMWs from, I believe, 2003 to 2015 models in the Atlanta metro area.
The list included 135 vehicles, and there was no guarantee that the BMW sought by investigators was on it.
I always tell people this is the Georgia Bureau investigation, not the Georgia Bureau, we know everything already. It felt like we were a long way from identifying a suspect.
In a major potential break, detectives now learned of a string of video game store robberies in the same area. The thieves in these crimes appeared to be the same people hitting local smoke shops.
It was discovered that GameStop video game stores were being robbed in a similar manner, with speed and violence, taking over the store, taking items from people's pockets, taking items from the store, and then fleeing.
The suspects bore the same physical description as those robbing area smoke shops. These crimes were almost certainly linked. Investigators now went to a robbery at a video game store that happened 2 days before the Reyes murder. In this crime, three suspects were involved. Surveillance video showed one of them was not wearing gloves.
You can see one of the offenders grabbing items, headphones, and smaller box items that are held behind the cash register. And in doing so, one of the items was touched and not taken. So that item stayed and remained on the shelf.
It was clear this thief had touched the item with his bare hand. Investigators now made the same decision they'd made earlier. Since speed was important, they went for the fingerprints instead of the DNA. The box was sent to the lab where it was processed for fingerprints using cyanoacrylate, what can be bought off the shelf as superglue.
We have a cyanoacrylate chamber or superglue chamber, an airtight tank that we process the evidence in. We place the item in that tank, heat that super glue, and then seal the tank up. And then after, say, 30 minutes, you should start to see if there are latent prints on the item that you're processing.
Heat causes the super glue to vaporize. The microscopic particles are attracted to the sweat and oils excreted by fingers and left behind on the surface of the item. The particles then crystallize, leaving a white residue.
The superglue process basically hardens the fingerprint. So you're able to take multiple lifts of that latent print if it develops.
Four high-quality prints were lifted and put into the APHIS database. One matched back to a man named Nathaniel DeLay.
Mr. Nathaniel DeLay had minor criminal history. No felonies, never been to prison, nothing like an armed robbery before.
DeLay flatly denied involvement in any of the robberies or the Reyes murder.
I was at the house watching the game Monday, smoking marijuana with my girl. That's the truth. I believe it.
Nathaniel DeLay's telling us that it had been years since he's been in Cobb County. That's actually a good thing for investigators, because if he would have said that he had been to GameStop and he had been there just a day before, it kind of eliminates and cuts our legs out of finding that fingerprint on that box and kind of gives him an out.
Nathaniel DeLay had no explanation for why his prints were at the scene of one of the robberies. But what investigators were really after was who killed E.J. Reyes. That murder and this robbery appeared to be directly connected, and Nathaniel DeLay seemed to know a lot more about both crimes than he was letting on.
If I had a nickel for every time somebody told me a lie, I wouldn't have to be a cop.
Nathaniel, my name's Ryan Hilton. I'm with the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. All right, man?
How you doing?
From the start, detectives attempting to solve the murder of E.J. Reyes were on the lookout for a silver BMW with custom wheels that was seen outside the smoke shop where E.J. was killed. They soon learned that 9 days before the murder, a BMW fitting that description had been carjacked in Atlanta.
The victim had told law enforcement that there were two suspects that had put a gun to him and robbed him, carjacked him.
The carjacked victim, Paul Jordan, was shown the composite drawing and video images from the Reyes murder, but could not make an identification. Then something unexpected happened, which led investigators straight back to their only suspect, Nathaniel DeLay.
Nathaniel DeLay has a unique look. He has the word success tattooed across his forehead. I'm just swiping through my phone, and I came to the driver's license photo of Nathaniel DeLay. Mr. Jordan stopped and said, "That is 100% the person who took my car."
What's your reaction to that?
Hot damn.
The problem was that Nathaniel DeLay did not look at all like the suspects in the murder of E.J. Reyes. And DeLay was clear. He wasn't there, but knew a lot about the murder.
I can give you a rumor that I heard they killed somebody.
Let's talk about that.
No. This is what you want to know, for real, for real.
For real, for real.
Yeah, right.
That's why we're here.
Look.
DeLay told detectives that a man named Justin White called him the day after the Reyes murder and was extremely nervous.
He said, "Man, I gotta get rid of this goddamn gun, man. Gonna get hot." He said, "This exact word, gonna get hot." I was like, "What's going on, bro?" He was like, "Man, I had to do it. Like, what you talking about?"
He told DeLay specifically to Google that incident, to look up that incident in the news.
I called him back and I was like, "Dude, you shot the man? You killed the man?" He was like, "I had no choice." Like, "Dude, you need to go pray."
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I found out.
Nathaniel DeLay told police that the other person in this robbery murder was a man named Dominique Stevens.
Dominique Stevens had previously been in prison, but Justin White had nothing but traffic offenses prior to this. No indication that he was a violent criminal prior to these incidences.
Multiple items from the robberies were found in their homes.
The evidence located at the scene was huge, was a huge factor in proving that Justin White and Dominique Stevens were responsible for the death of EJ.
Dominique Stevens maintained his innocence, but when faced with the evidence, Justin White came clean about what happened the night E.J. Reyes was shot to death. His story was that he never intended to harm anyone. He just reacted when E.J. fought back during the robbery.
We just went in there, you know. I told him, I'm not going to take your phones or your wallets. You know, I'm going to put it by the door. I'm saying, just please cooperate. When I turned around and I got punched, I didn't even know I shot. You know, I didn't even know.
None of the blame for this can be placed on EJ. None of it. Justin White knew what he was doing when he got into it. The fact that EJ fought back, however tragic and noble, not his fault he got shot, never will be. That rests on Justin White.
Nathaniel DeLay, who was not present at the murder, pleaded guilty to armed robbery and got 5 years. Justin White and Dominique Stevens pleaded guilty to a racketeering charge that included all the robberies and the murder of E.J. Reyes. Dominique Stevens got life in prison plus 5 years. Justin White, the shooter, got consecutive life sentences.
The way I look at armed robberies is it is just 1 second away from being a homicide case. Anytime you go into a place brandishing a firearm, you're showing that you are willing and able to use that firearm.
Investigators readily admit that if not for the discovery of a single fingerprint inadvertently deposited during a well-planned but still chaotic robbery, the murder of E.J. Reyes might never have been solved.
The fingerprint was really the linchpin in this case. Without that fingerprint, we would have never been able to identify anybody that was involved.
In this case, it reminded me of the basics. The best professionals in whatever field it is do the absolute best at the basics. Process the crime scene, look at the evidence, review surveillance video, and have good evidence collection procedures. If you can do that, you can solve cases.